الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praises due to Allah, and may Allah exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Actually, today's will be the translation of two khutbah. The one that was a couple of weeks back dealing with the Shia, and today's as well. And I apologize for not coming for 2 weeks for those who are concerned. It's due to valid reasons, inshallah. So those who are leaving, if you want to change your mind and come back, we would much be, you're more than welcome to join us, inshallah. I will begin with this one because it's relevant. Then afterwards we'll do the translation of the khutbah 2 weeks ago. And then next week, inshallah, we'll do the one that he'll be doing and the one that we missed last week as well, which was about magic. So today, the subject, which is the swine, pig, and the Shia, next week, inshallah, will be the magic and whatever else the Shaykh will be dealing with. The Shaykh began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for perfecting our deen and completing His favor upon us. And He bore witness, as we bear witness, that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. Then He began by saying that all Muslims have taqwa of Allah and obey Him and stick to His legislation and hold on tight to His religion. Verily, the servant's affair will not be rectified unless you adhere to the teachings of Islam, because this is what you will be questioned about. Allah says in the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so hold on tight to that which was revealed upon you. Verily, you are upon the straight path, and this is a reminder for you and for your people, and you will be questioned. We are included in that waqaw. We are part of His people sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will be questioned about to what extent we adhere to the teachings of Islam. Out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His servants and His kindness towards them is that He provided them with everything they need for survival, and He prevented them from consuming things that are harmful to them. And then He gave them intellect by which they can understand good from evil and beneficial from what is harmful. Furthermore, He sent down the legislations to guide them in their religious affairs and their worldly ones as well. Nutrition is an essential part of the human existence. And from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He provided them with sustenance, nutrition for the survival of their bodies, and He sent down the Quran for the livelihood of their hearts. So you eat to remain alive physically, and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what will revive you spiritually. And Allah had detailed for us what is halal and what is haram, particularly in Surah Al-An'am, the cattle. It's one of the surah of the Quran. Much is discussed about, you know, what is halal and what is haram and otherwise. Let me just put this down here. Na'am. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then had sufficed us with the halal, and He warned us from transgressing and consuming that which is unlawful for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and why would you not eat from that which Allah's name was mentioned upon? And He had explained to you in detail what is forbidden upon you, except that which you are compelled out of necessity. Like, for instance, the meat, the maita, the dead animal is haram. But if you were in the desert for whatever reason, and the only thing you found to eat during that time for survival is that animal, it is allowed due to necessity, as long as you don't eat more than what you need, and you're not doing it out of desire for the food, or you're only trying to survive. This is what وَمَا اضْطُرِرْتُمْ إِلَيْهِ, what you have been compelled out of necessity to consume. And very, verily, many mislead people from the path of Allah with their desires, without any knowledge. With their desires and without any knowledge. And your Lord is more knowing of the transgressors. So then following the desires is means of misguiding from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the way of the shaitan, who had swore that he will divert all of us from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will seduce all of us. And the concept of being seduced through your desires is something that is from the human nature. Actually, that which took our forefathers and Adam and Eve from Jannah was the very element of eating from a forbidden tree without knowing what the tree is. That it was through that desire for food and consuming food along with wanting to remain eternal is what took Adam and Eve alayhim as-salatu wassalam from Jannah. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us from following the footsteps of the shaitan. And this was mentioned in a number of occasions in the Quran. In four different occasions in the Quran, we were prohibited from following the footsteps of the shaitan. One of them was dealing with the context of peace and war. And two of them dealing with consuming food and drink. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, O mankind, eat from whatever we have provided you from the earth. Halalan, lawful, tayyiban, good. So it must be lawful and it must be good. And do not follow the footsteps of the shaitan. Verily he is to you a clear enemy. And the other other occasion in the Quran, Surah Al-An'am, Allah says, eat from that which Allah has provided you with, and follow not the footsteps of the shaitan. He is to you a clear enemy again. And then the last occasion is in the context of fornication, qadf and fawahish. Qadf is slander, when someone accuses a chaste woman of committing fornication or adultery without bringing four witnesses. This is what qadf is. And fawahish, all detested and hated disobedience and sins. Allah says regarding that, O you who believe, follow not the footsteps of the shaitan. Verily whoever follows the footsteps of the shaitan, he only commands fahsha, the evil deeds, and munkar, that which is evil. And it is known, the Shaykh said, that the desire one has for consuming food is greater than the one that deals with fornication and that which deals with his private parts. And I'm not going to elaborate on that due to the presence of the younger generation. Either way, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it forbidden for us to consume this particular kind of food, because if your body grows from that, then your body will be also filthy. If you eat filthy food, then you will become filthy as well. And we should not follow the footsteps of the shaitan and the people of the book, who always try to twist the rulings in order to find a reason why they can continue to consume something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made forbidden for them. Tayyib, the pig, also known as swine, is a detested, ugly, filthy creation of Allah, that Allah had created as means of testing. Among the things, like for example, any kind of drug, even tobacco, smoke, which is haram, it is from the creation of Allah, right or wrong? The fact that Allah created it does not mean that it is halal. It's a test from Allah to see who will refrain from the filthy creation, and from those who will follow only the things that are halal, as Allah says, halalan, tayyiban. So the fact that Allah created the pig does not necessitate that it is okay for us to consume it. It is this animal that Allah had made extremely forbidden. So much so that it was mentioned also in four different times in the Quran. Four different times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. He says in one Surah Al-Baqarah, verily it was made forbidden upon you al-mayta, which is a dead animal, wa-dam, the blood, wa-lahm al-khanzir, and the flesh of the swine. In Surah Al-Ma'id, Allah says, it was made forbidden upon you the dead animal and the flesh of the swine. In Surah Al-An'am, again, say, O Muhammad, to the people, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I do not find forbidden upon me from that which I read for anyone who wants to eat any kind of food except what was made, except al-mayta, the dead animal, or spilled blood, or the flesh of swine. Verily, it is impure. Or that which has been sacrificed for other than the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And The last one is in Surah An-Nahl. Verily it has been made forbidden upon you the dead animal and the blood and the flesh of the swine. Four different times Allah had made that forbidden upon us. All of the Mufassirin, the majority of the Mufassirin, those who interpret the meaning of the Quran, they said that the Ummah has agreed that the pig, the swine, is forbidden in everything in it. The skin and the bones and the flesh and the blood, everything in the pig, the whole animal in and within itself is forbidden. The only reason why the flesh was mentioned in the ayat, because it is the most common means of benefiting from it. For those who sell it, they sell the flesh, they don't sell anything other than that. Some of them hang the face of a pig in their house as means of decoration. Allah yahdihum bas. Then he said, Ibn Hazm rahimahullah, he said, the scholars have agreed that it is forbidden and it is not allowed to eat or consume any part of the pig. And perhaps why it was made forbidden to that extent is that the Christians who distorted their religion and the religion of Jesus, peace be upon him, they made the pig a symbol for them. You know, the pig is something very beloved for them. That's why if you look at the Disneyland, or half of the cartoon in the world, it's always about pigs. Three little pigs and the pigs that went and the pigs came back. They try to make the pig this, you know, cute, lovely animal. You know, this is all brainwashing. So the kids, our children, will be brought up like, oh, a pig, mafi mushkila. It's nice, you know, like Bambi and whatever other things of this nature. No, that was an elephant. Anyways, they claim that it is a nice, wonderful animal, and Allah knows that it is not. And so this is all part of the plan of the Christians. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said that Isa, he said, the hour will not be established until Isa, Jesus, the son of Mary, will come down as a just ruler. He will break the cross, he will kill the pig, and he will remove the jizya. The jizya is a compulsory tax that is paid by the non-Muslims who are living under the Islamic government. So when there's Muslims, we are in control, and there are non-Muslims living amongst us. This is the jizya, that the compulsory tax that they pay for the Baytul Mal, for the house of the Muslims, the money of the Muslims, as means of us protecting them, because they are under our protection if they live in this particular fashion. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ, if the flesh is forbidden, then the wealth, the money, the cost for the pig is also forbidden. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily Allah has made alcohol forbidden and its cost. And he made the dead animal forbidden and its cost. And he made the flesh swine forbidden and its cost. And so also in the Sunnah, we have indications that even using the silverware or any plates or, you know, forks or knives or anything that has the pigs is also not something that is disliked. The Prophet ﷺ, one of the companions, Abu Tha'laba, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, we are neighbors to the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, and the Christians in particular, because they are the ones who do this. The Jews don't even consume the pig. And so we find that they cook in their plates the pig, and they use in their cups and their glasses, consume wine and alcohol. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if you find other means of, you know, plates, then use those. But if you do not find any, then wash them. You have to wash them first, then you can eat and drink. The pig is so hated that even when the Prophet ﷺ wanted to indicate how bad it is to play with the dice, he said, whomever plays with the dice, you know, any game that has dice, even Monopoly, be careful of these board games that we try to, you know, have the children become smart in business while the game is based on dice. Any game that has dice is forbidden, for the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, whoever plays with dice, it is as if he had dipped his hand in the flesh of a swine and his blood. Just playing with dice. So be careful about that one. I know we have some games back home that are very much based on dice. So Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said, if this is what has been indicated just about touching it, then what about the one who consumes it and he eats it? Anyways, the Shaykh said, consuming a particular kind of animal will affect your character. The Prophet ﷺ said, arrogance and boastfulness is from the people who own camels and horses, whereas humbleness is the quality of the people who deal with sheep. The people who deal with goats and sheep are more humble than those who deal with camels and horses by nature because of their contact with these animals. And so this is something that is known. Ibn Khaldun said, the Arabs ate a lot of camel, so they became rough. You know, especially the Bedouins. You know, you see them, it just, you have to give them 100 riyals to smile. And the Turk, they ate a lot of horses, so they became a little, you know, tough. You know, always trying to, you know, the horse, mashallah, tabarakallah. Whereas the Westerners, they ate a lot of pig, so they became, they had the diyatha or diyatha. The youth is one who is not jealous for his woman folks. Meaning his daughter goes out with a, you know, her boyfriend, his wife, you know, walks around in the street adorning herself and strange men look at her, and he has no problem with that. No jealousy over his woman folk. Ma fi mushkila. This is a dayuth al-iyadu billah. May Allah protect us from this particular quality. In the second kind of khutbah, he began by reminding us to obey Allah, as Allah says in the Quran, and obey Allah and His Messenger and be careful. If you turn away, then know that Allah, that the Prophet's message, the Prophet's task was only to convey the message in a clear form. The Shaykh said, in this recent time, we've had many diseases. Many diseases. First we had that which affected the goats. Then we had the mad cow disease with the cows. Too bad for the Hindus. And then we had the flu, bird flu, which they say many of the doctors or those who did the research said it was actually, it came from the pigs. And the birds carried it to different places in the earth. And today we are suffering, as you see on the news, from the swine influenza or the swine flu. And the swine was even forbidden in the Bible. I mean, if you read the Bible, the swine is forbidden upon the Jews and Jesus, peace be upon him. Jesus never allowed it, by the way, Isa alayhi salam. It was Paul, Saint Paul, who was a hypocrite Jew, who claimed to be a Christian, who claimed that he received revelation from Jesus, who told him that it is okay to consume the swine, you don't have to get circumcised anymore, and he changed the whole religion of Jesus into the Trinity that we have today. So even according to them, this was made forbidden. So these people then, they changed the religion and they try to make it seem that the swine is halal and it is not. And they continue to act arrogantly. They see the results right now of what has happened. This, they're unable to stop it. You know, it's becoming, people are panicking all over the earth. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that this thing continues, it may just be the source of destruction for many of the people in this day and time. And you know, if you read in the history, there were always times where some diseases came and they took away 4 or 5 million people. You know, this is, you can't stop it. Now with all the machinery they have, all the guns that they have, all the weapons that they have, one bacteria, one if goes around, no one is able to stop it. And this is from the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's what Allah says in the Quran, and to Allah belongs the soldiers of the heavens and the earth. And everything is the soldier of Allah. And verily Allah is full of might, all wise. And so, these people, if they don't change their ways, we may just be destroyed. We may all just be destroyed. And verily Allah does not oppress the people, but they oppress themselves. So then, brothers in Islam, we should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stick to His commandment. Leave alone things that He made forbidden. And only consume that which He had made halal. Furthermore, we should ensure that we at least advise the people who are easygoing with the matters of food. And tell them about the consequences of violating the rights of Allah, because Allah is jealous. And you see what is happening to the world today. And then the last ayah that the Shaykh quoted, Allah says, and what nothing prevented us from sending the signs or the miracles they were requesting, except that the former people denied it, and we gave Thamud the she camel as a clear sign, but they wronged it. They wronged the camel by slaughtering it, and verily we only send these signs as means of frightening our creation. Allah is reminding us about His wisdom, His might, His ability, that this one disease is spreading and no one is able to do anything about it. A reminder for the Muslims to turn in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is as far as the pig. And very close in topic is that of the Shia. There's not much of a difference, believe it or not, unless you have a misconception about Islam. Because I've heard some brothers who have an issue with you criticizing the Shia. or they say that this is something that should not be done. The only one who says that is someone who does not know Islam, and sure enough he does not know the Shia. You don't know the Shia, so you may feel soft-hearted towards them, or you may say, "Mahlis, but they were fighting against the Jews." Akhi, don't believe Hollywood. Don't believe Hollywood or Bollywood. And the Jews and the Shia are the biggest actors in the world. And this khutbah, Jazallah Khairan, deals with that. So the Muslims will know who you're dealing with. You don't know who you're dealing with until you are educated about them. So let us go through that quickly. I'm going to be very brief because I know you have things to do and you're hungry. First and foremost, part of your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you love whomever Allah loves and whomever is a real servant to Allah, and you hate whomever Allah hates and whoever disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why you should consider the disbeliever as an enemy to you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love them. Even if they claim to be sweet talkers and they claim to be nice, at any given opportunity they will not cease to harm you and cause damage against you, because the non-Muslims simply do not like the Muslims. We should just accept this fact by now, because you're seeing it every day. And we lie to ourselves, say, no, they don't feel this way. Akhi, they feel this way. Look at what's going on in the world. Everybody's going against the Muslims. Anyways, there are two kinds of enemies. Clear, outspoken enemy, and a hidden enemy. One who is working, you know, under the table, as they say. And we should be more careful of the ones who are hidden than the ones who are apparent. Because the apparent one, you know he's your enemy, so you know how to deal with him. The hidden one, he continues to break your bones from within. And next thing you know, your construction is gone. And you don't even feel it, because he's working from inside. And among them are the Rafida. Why are they called a Rafida? Rafida comes from the word Rafd. Rafad al-Shay, meaning he rejected it. So they're really the rejectors, because they rejected the imamah of Zayd bin Ali bin Zayn al-Abidin, one of the children of Ali. He expressed his alliance with Abu Bakr and Umar. And you know that they don't like Abu Bakr and Umar. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma wa ardahuma. So then they denied him. They rafadu. They rejected him. So they became, they're known as the Rafida. They have many different denominations. Among them is As-Safawiyyah, those who claim to be attributed to Ismail As-Safawi, the one who turned the Persian land, which is known today as Iran, into this predominantly Shi'i country, although it used to be a Muslim country predominantly before, in order to distinguish itself from the Uthmaniyin. Among their other denominations are Al-Ja'fariya, Wal-Ithna Ashariya, like Hezbollah. Those who think that, you know, this group is good people and they're fighting against the Jews and they're defending southern Lebanon. These are the Ithna Ashariya Ja'fariya. You will see these are among the most wicked of human beings, let alone Muslims. They're the most wicked of human beings. I'll just give you briefly some of their belief system before we go into what the Shaykh will mention. They believe that Jibreel made a mistake, that Allah sent him to Ali to bring revelation, but he came to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ instead of Ali. For 23 years, no correction. This is accusing Allah of not being our Rabb. If Allah is unable to control what Jibreel will do, and Jibreel will make a mistake, and for 23 years he's given revelation to the wrong man, that means that you don't believe in Allah. Even the disbeliever doesn't say this about Allah. They believe that Allah is full of might, but they may not worship Him alone. They believe that Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and all of the Sahaba, with the exception of around 6, are kuffar, disbelievers, apostated from Islam. They believe that Aisha radiallahu anha is an evil woman. They accuse her of things that we shouldn't even speak in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe that their 12 imams are infallible. They make no mistakes. They know the past, they know the present, and they know the future. And they have control over the universe. They assist Allah in running this universe. And they believe that they are so pure that they were not born from where the baby is usually born. They say that they came out from the thighs of their mothers because of their purity. They cannot come from an impure place. So they're saying that they are better than the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, who came from where a regular man would come from. These are these people, man. Now don't be fooled by a big turban and a big beard and a nice cloak and standing in front of the masses and saying, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah." All of us, girgir kathir. That's what it is. I can tell you right now, and I gave this example before. If I bring the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, hasha lillah, I'm just giving you an example, and I put it under my foot and I say, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah." Do you believe me? A'udhu billah. What kind of believer would say that? How can I say that and do this to the book of Allah? So saying something does not mean that you really mean it. And you could say something and do something that will make you lose what you said. It makes it void. So be careful of this fact. These are these people who the Muslims today praise. Say, no, please don't speak about them. These are our brothers in Islam. La wallah habibi. They're not your brothers in Islam. Because they are Muslims who have deviated from the path. Yes, we try to bring them back and we try to harmonize and make ourselves go back to the sunnah. But these people, our difference with them is that of a belief system. When you have someone thinking what I just mentioned to you, I think you get the picture. Anyways, they call themselves the Shia of Ali. And Ali, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu wa arda, is innocent from them. And actually during his time, some of them told them, "You are the true God." They deified Ali. So he burnt them in the fire. Ali radiallahu anhu wa arda. And so the ulama had agreed to call them al-Rafid al-Batiniyah. The rejectors, batiniyah from inside, inner. They have hidden concepts. They claim to be Muslims outwardly, but they keep inside disbelief and animosity towards the Muslims. Among their wickedness is, they twist the meaning of the Quran. Actually, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, okay, speaking about their 12 imams. The ayah where Allah says, and verily among them, now listen to this dangerous claim, and among them are a group of people who will twist their tongue when reciting the book. So you will believe it's from the book, but it is not from the book. And they say it is from Allah, but it is not from Allah. And they say about Allah lies while they know. You know who they accuse of doing this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They accuse him of twisting his tongue where he denied the ayat that were revealed to their imam. He twisted them. And he's claiming that it is from Allah and it is not from Allah. This is what they accuse the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ of. I don't know, man, if you really want to. I mean, this is the fact. Don't believe me. Read their books. Go to their websites. Go to their websites. They have websites established. Unless they've made them forbidden for you to come from this country. Wallah, you will see that this is what they believe. This is not, you know, just us lying against them. This is what these people do. But they have something called taqiyya, which is a form of, it's a veil in front of you. He does not expose to you what he really feels. But when they're with each other, they speak the truth. In front of a Sunni, they act like everything is good. This is part of their deen. Otherwise, they cannot really be Shia. So they claim to be something that they are really not. Second, they interpret the narrations of the Prophet ﷺ according to their wicked understanding. They curse the Sahaba. And I've seen them with my own eye. You could even see them on YouTube. One of them will stand on the minbar on the day of Jumu'ah and he will say, "Oh Allah, curse Umar. Oh Allah, curse Abu Bakr." And he will cry from khushu'. And the people in the masjid, all of them, you know, making noise. Oh, as yani, this is to them getting near to Allah by cursing the Sahaba of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Huraira and others. They curse them and they consider them all to be kuffar. They exaggerate Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu until they made him a god. And they exaggerate their dead imams even in the graves. And Prophet ﷺ said, Allah curses the Jews and the Christians. They took the graves of the righteous people as masajid. And this is a calamity that the Muslims are suffering from as well. Where Muslims go to the graveyard, to the dead person, Wali, Abdul Qadir al-Jilani or otherwise, and they seek intercession with Allah through them. They seek getting near to Allah through them. If you want to learn how to deal with these people, you're invited to come every Tuesday to Aziziyah Masjid after Salatul Isha. Every Tuesday after Salatul Isha, everybody knows Aziziyah Masjid, just in the back. We are dealing with the book of how to refute those who worship the graves and claim that they are not like the mushrikeen. Because we know that many Muslims do that, but we don't know how to explain to them that their action is wrong. So all of you are invited to come, inshallah. So they believe in their imams that they are infallible. And they've had an evil, wicked black history in the life of ours. And then he mentioned some issues that I will not deal with just due to the time. The bottom line is that they partook in many of the atrocities that had befallen upon the Muslims, and they actually helped the Tatar back then to overcome the Muslims and to defeat the Muslim prince, and you know, get them off the they killed them actually, and then they took control of the land. And in this day and time, they're doing the same thing in Iraq. As soon as the Crusaders enter into Iraq, they were nothing. You know, they were not allowed to speak, as you know from history. As soon as one individual was removed and the Crusaders came into, you know, what they're doing today in Iraq, now all of a sudden they have a voice and they have speeches and they talk, and they had a voice, but they were unable to voice their opinions before. And among the things that they have done today, in these days in Iraq, they exterminated villages of Muslims, Sunni Muslims, all together, the whole family. They made them migrate. They made the Sunnis migrate from their homes after they robbed them for their furniture. They attacked the masajid of the people of the Sunnah and they killed everyone that was in there. They burnt the storages for food that belonged to the Muslim Sunnis. They confiscated and took, you know, as prisoners many of the Muslim Sunnis, and furthermore, and the worst of all, wal'iyadu billah, they kidnapped the Muslim Sunni women and they raped them, and then they killed them and they threw them in the gutter. And of course they dishonored the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, treated it with humiliation. And this is only, the Shaykh said, this is only a little bit of a lot of more information that you do not know about. So brothers in Islam, know then who your enemy is. We must be upon clarity about our clear enemy and our inner enemies. Allah says, and do not incline towards those who were oppressive, then the fire will touch you. And verily you have none besides Allah as a protector, and you will not be given victory. So these are all from among the most wicked of our enemies that hold much animosity against the Muslims. And they fought against Allah and His Messenger, and they fought against the believers. Even though they say La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have nullified that statement of theirs with their wicked and their misunderstood creed. Yani the way they, as I mentioned to you earlier, this aqidah of theirs nullified the shahada of La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as Allah says, and most of the people believe not in Allah except while committing shirk and ascribing partners to Him. And that was that regarding the khutbah that 2 weeks ago. And bi'idhnillah azza wa jalla, if we all remain alive, as I mentioned earlier, next week inshallah we'll deal with the khutbah that the Shaykh will discuss, which I don't know what it is yet, and magic, which is something that the Muslims are also suffering from a lot in this day and time. And so jazakumullah khairan for sticking around. If you wish to hear this particular translation, or you wish to share it with others, or you wish to know about any Islamic events in English, feel free to go to www.onewaytoparadise.net. No numbers. One way to paradise. onewaytoparadise.net. Not .com. And you can download this translation and other Islamic material for da'wah or for your own beneficial knowledge. Please come to the Tuesday class if you're not busy after Salatul Isha to know how to learn about the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to protect ourselves from shirk. And we have many other events in English. If you wish, you can subscribe to the website, and then we will notify you about any Islamic event taking place. So jazakumullahu khairan. Sorry for taking much of your time. May Allah reward you with goodness. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.